because the thing I learned about the Holy Ghost is that he's very generous. Amen. In fact, he's more than generous. Sometimes it's almost embarrassing the way he just fills you up and fills you up and gives you this and gives you that. Amen. Pardon? Yes. Oh, I see. Oh, you're going to sit there, are you? All right. Praise the Lord. If I'd known you're going to sit there, I'd let you come in front of me. Yes, the Holy Ghost is absolutely generous. And he's wonderful beyond compare in these excellent matters. He gives away the things of God in open-handed liberality. There are no limits. The only thing he will not give you is the glory that rightfully belongs to Jesus Christ. He won't give you the honor that he should have, but he'll give you everything that'll make you honorable and glorious and full of love and power and all those things that you read about in the Bible. And I hope you're just not longing for them, but that you have them. And you can have them more abundantly. This is one of the wonders of it all. You know, if you were a fish in the ocean and you were born one day, you see, or supposing you were a salmon that was born somewhere up in one of the little streams, upstream in Scotland perhaps, you see, and then you went down the leaps. And said, well, there's more of this here, you see. And then you swam down the mountain. That's marvellous here, isn't it? And you swim out into the ocean. Well, there's more of it. Amen. And you keep swimming for another 1,000 miles. There's more of it. You keep swimming another 1,000 miles and there's more of it. And you turn right if you're in the Pacific and you swim. There's more of it. If you're not careful, you'll hit Japan or China. You see, that's the way. And you look. More of it, more abundantly. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. Now that's what God has for us. And this is what we were talking about a little this afternoon, about being filled with all the fullness of God. You must never be content with having some of God's fullness. I mean, because you enjoyed the sunshine last month, you can say, well, now I'm filled. I don't want any more sunshine all the rest of my life. Hope it rains or snows. You don't say that. You want more and more and more. And if you really want sunshine, you ought to go to another country. But never mind. There it is. There's more and more and more of it. And God sees this so very wonderfully and has made provision for us in his Son. I want to talk to you tonight something about the glorious person and work and fullness, though I'm not going to sort of categorize it particularly, or set it up under analytical head. But I want to talk to you about the Spirit and the great works of the Spirit and the results of these things in our lives. Amen. I hope that you are one of those persons that God has dealt with in your life and shown you what he's really after and what he was really doing by that wonderful cross. We can say so many things, and I always think that it's put most succinctly and properly for us in the Galatian letter. Just to make the start there, not to stay there at all. But if we look for a moment into Galatians chapter 3, where Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And you see there, he refers to the cross and all the great work of the cross. And the next thing is, he says, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit. The relationship of the Holy Ghost to the cross. The third person of the Trinity to the second person of the Trinity. This is all the great point that really the writer is making, because he knows it in his life, and indeed this is what God is telling you through him, that when that precious Son hung on the cross at Calvary, he was doing the thing, all that needed to be done, to remove everything and deal with all negations and all impossibilities and all reasons why you could not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you in absolute fullness. If he bore sin on the cross, it was to take it away, that it should be removed as the essential and deepest rooted blockage between you and God that prevented God from giving you the Holy Ghost. If he dealt with the old man on the cross, he dealt with him for the same reason. If he dealt with self as distinct from our old Adam, this dealing with me, myself, on the cross, as Paul talks about it in the 20th verse of that second chapter of Galatians, it was for the same reason, that the Holy Ghost may come, and God not only should be just in justifying me, but that he should be absolutely perfectly right in filling me with his Spirit. Now, it's in this great background then that I want to talk to you tonight, that we may see what God is really after in our lives. And I think I want to say three main things to you, so plainly written in the scripture. The first one you will find in the Acts of the Apostles and the famous first chapter and the equally famous 8th verse, where Jesus is speaking, and we'll start at verse 5, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized, and the preposition here is in. And if you have a Revised Standard Version, this is one of the places it fails. It doesn't really deal with all these prepositions properly. It sets out, they say, to give us a clearer understanding of the Greek, but fails miserably often in translating the prepositions right. You shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Wonderful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was the first reason the Holy Ghost was poured out, that you might be baptized in him. That's why. And then all the realities of Christ's person and work could be brought into you positively, gloriously, in such a fullness and in immeasurable capacity that God can then take you up and, beside making you the person he wants you to be, use you to the utmost powers, lengths and breadths and depths and heights. This is what it's all about. Now, beloved, here we go then, and we read on. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, when you baptize us in the Holy Spirit, restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That's a marvelous thing. I'm very grateful for that, because there are lots of people in 1971 who think they ought to know the times and seasons. Do you see? You realize that, don't you? They think they ought to know, and I'll tell you that the Bible tells you all about it, but I've never found the Bible tell me this yet. Never. One of the saddest things I heard fairly recently was of a whole family in Australia who were quite sure that the Lord was coming very soon, so they sold up and moved to Israel. You see, they may be right, but I also knew a man whom I found in what was then called a lunatic asylum, but would now be called a mental hospital, who had believed the same thing 50 years ago, and had sold up and had moved out to Palestine, you see? And I found him latterly in a lunatic asylum in Maidstone, in Kent. That's a sad thing. In fact, I know a man who sent me a book through the post, and he proved that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming in July 1970. He proved it, so he said. You see, now we're in 1971. The whole glorious thing about it is you are not to know the times and the seasons, which the Father put in his own power. So much so that when he was on earth, he said, I don't know the day or the hour myself. There were some things that the Father put in the power of the Son. And now he says that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's a marvelous thing. But there are those things which he has put in his own power, the Father. And he didn't put those in the power of the Son. Keep that very clear. Keep that very clear in your heart. And this is what he went on to say. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He didn't say, I'll make you wonderful Bible students and you'll understand what it teaches. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me. Glory be to God. He didn't even say, and some of you are going to be writers of the new Bible, that is the New Testament. He didn't even say that to them. He left them all in blissful ignorance. Hallelujah. He made them totally dependent upon him. And they went in like babes. They just went in like babes to receive what Jesus had for them. He said, you'll receive power. You know that the Greek, I hope perhaps some of you may know at least, that the real truth here is that you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Amen. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Glory be to God. And this, beloved, is the first great reason stated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself for you and I being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was the great reason that we should be witnesses unto him. Simple and eternal and, oh, what can you say, far-reaching in every way, a witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose for us being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Notice he doesn't say you'll be witnesses, you're going to receive power to go out and give your testimony for me at work or something like that. That isn't what he said. He said you're going to receive power to be a witness unto me. Amen. To show people what I can do. That's right. You are going to be the living proof, the evidences in the world that I am. And that what I said is true. and that what I did on the cross is the great power to deal with all personality problems, all sin problems, all self-centered things. Oh, to make you revolve around a different person than yourself, as Jesus himself did. For you will remember, I'm going to put it colloquially for the purposes of what I want to say, slightly altering the grammar of Scripture, but not the sense of it. Yes. Haven't you come to realize yet that the Father's in me? I revolve around the Father, all my personality. That's right. Amen. Everything, he says, the Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, what a glorious, transparent person Jesus was, that they could look straight through him and see the Father. And this is what he claimed when he was on the earth. And so you and I, beloved, have been called and brought by Jesus Christ that we should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there we should just be a living testimony unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This is wonderful.
Amen.
This is wonderful. That God can set you down in any company and you can be the living proof, undeniable and indestructible, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For this is his proof that he is the Son of God. You may read this in John chapter 1. When Jesus went down to John Baptist to be baptized in water, and the Holy Ghost descended as a dove from heaven upon him, and Father spoke, so that you had the Trinity in combination here. This is my beloved Son. John Baptist said, I didn't know him, but he that sent me to baptize with water said, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. I saw, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. To John Baptist, the Son of God was the purpose, was the person who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. So when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're the living proof of the Son of God. Amen. It's as simple as that. When God does this marvelous thing, you haven't even got to open your mouth particularly. You haven't got to give your witness or give your testimony. You are his testimony. You are his word. You are what he is saying. You are what he is doing. That's right. You. Just you. Just glory to God. That's what it is. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that, beloved. So that the very youngest, or the merest or sheerest beginner among us can come here. Oh, my word. This is what it means when it says in Ephesians 2 that we are his workmanship. That's right. We are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. And having been created in Christ Jesus, in this glorious person, the Holy Ghost comes and we're baptized in him, and lo, our self in this world is changed into that that was created in Christ Jesus. Amen. And there we are, the workmanship of God. That's right. The living proof, the indestructible evidence, the thing that men and devils can't do anything about, save hate, gnash their teeth on, and break them. Hallelujah. Now this is what God wants us to understand. It's just a matter of being. It's a matter of living. That's all it is. And that's what happened on that wonderful day of Pentecost. They became witnesses to him in Jerusalem, the very last place where they wanted any witnesses to Jesus Christ. They'd done their best to stamp him out, and they'd thrown him out and crucified him outside of the walls. And there, right in Jerusalem, they didn't know what God was doing. They didn't know God's strategy. They hadn't got a clue. These people were all gathered there in Jerusalem, and lo, God produces 120 for that one that they slay. Does it? 120 of them, right in the midst. And by the end of the day, there were 3,120. Oh, glory be to God. Witnesses to Jesus Christ. They couldn't get rid of him. Oh, that's eternal life. Can't get rid of it. You can't destroy it. No. You can't ignore it. Not if it's the real, genuine, eternal life. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, isn't this wonderful? And I want to ask you this question. Are you, on this basis and on these terms, a witness? Are you a witness? Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's have a look. You know this man in chapter 3, that Peter and John, they were the instruments of healing to this man. And you remember that they simply said that what they did, all they did, was act in the name of Jesus Christ. So God wants a lot of healings to be done as testimony, that as witness to Jesus, because that's what Jesus would do. You see? He wants lots of people to be healed, because that's what Jesus would do, see? That's right, isn't it? Glory be to God. And when you come to the fourth chapter, you know what happened. And they'd already made a great big upset in the temple. They didn't like that at all. And it's an amazing thing, but there it is. You couldn't keep them out. And in the fourth chapter, whilst they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them, put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, they were too late, everybody's too late when God's really working in the Holy Spirit. Many of them which heard the word believed. They were too late. Now that God's always one step ahead of the world, he's always moving before the devil. Oh, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. Devil's doing what? Lagging behind as usual. Lord had defeated him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is how it's going to be in your life if you're a real witness. Now listen, if it's not like this with you, something's gone wrong. Amen. And the number of the men was about 5,000, and if it's the same ratio, you know, women to men, there must have been about 40,000, I would have thought. 8 to 1. Oh, bless God, I tell you this, wherever the Holy Ghost is moving in power, you don't find this. You don't find that the women are outweighing the men are there. Yeah, the men are there. Glory be to God. They see what their calling is and what they've got a manhood for. To be moving in the Spirit. Not some effeminate playing around with televisions and motor cars. Held bound as fast as you can go. You're there where the Holy Ghost is moving. If you're a man, playing about digging your back garden, cutting off rosebuds and one thing and another, or going fishing. Here then is the great truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, all their family, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing about it. Hallelujah. You know, when you produce the goods, it shuts the devil's mouth. It makes him ever so angry, and he'll try and take it out on you, but never matter about that. When you can produce the absolute real things that Jesus does, when you can produce them, amen. I'll tell you what, when Jesus died, he hadn't got many converts, had he? But there were millions of people who'd been healed by him left all over Palestine. Am I right or wrong? He produced the goods. They crucified him despite it, or probably because of it, because it was too much for them. But he done the works. Praise the name of the Lord. The incontestable facts were there, spread all over the land. And now, risen from the dead, he was doing the same things all over again to prove that they were witnesses to him. Amen. Glory be to God. And you know what happened? This man had had a marvelous healing, and he'd gone into the temple leaping and praising and glorifying God. And the apostles had been clapped in prison, and it looked as though this man, if he hadn't gone in prison with them, had been hanging about round the prison door so they could go to trial with them. They beheld him standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. And you see, you know what happened? I'd love to read all this chapter. You do it for yourself. Presently they go home, verse 23, and they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them, and nobody got their handkerchiefs out and said, isn't it awful? Don't you think we ought to go and stop this? I mean, we should all get in trouble. How about our poor wives and our kiddies? We'll lose our jobs. We'll have our houses burned down. Don't you think, for the sake of our children, we ought to go a bit steady? Not they. Glory be to God, it was the only way of saving their children. They stood there and they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. They had a real God. They were witnesses unto Jesus. Amen. Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Amen. There's a true witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived the life that God has determined before to be done, whatsoever is done to them. They're not kicked around by the devil. We're in. A wonderful strategy. We're in a marvelous plan. God's determined before what's going to be done to you if you live as a witness to Jesus Christ. It isn't that you should live as a witness to Jesus Christ that you should do things for him, but that he should do things for you. It isn't that you should work for him, but that he should work for you. And work in you, and work through you. That's what it's all about, to fit into all this pre-arranged plan. It's as simple as ABC. Of course you expect, but it's only in the Spirit that this is so. When a man is baptized in the Spirit, then if they go on and walk and live in the Spirit, nothing can go wrong. Nothing at all. But you haven't got to mind being put in prison. You haven't got to mind your children being killed. You haven't got to mind your property being smashed. And you think how much of your life you've spent on that and these things. You think. Just think. You will be shocked. And here then is what the Lord is moving to. Oh, let's go right on with this, shall we? And now, Lord, verse 29, isn't it wonderful to be able to talk to the Lord like this? See, now telling the Lord what to do. You see? Yeah, asking the Lord to do something and he does it. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And this man that had been healed on the previous day now got filled with the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. He was glad he stuck to Peter and John. He not only got his ankle bones and feet filled with strength, he was not only healed, he could not only say, look here, jumping. Of course he would be jumping. If your ankle bones had been healed, you'd jump too. And he was testing it out. Praise God. Dancing, you might say, in the presence of the Lord. And then God comes and fills him with the Holy Spirit. And everybody else too that was in the room. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God loves to get companies of people together in a room just like this. Bless God that you're here tonight. He loves to get them here and fill them with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's moving to. Amen. It isn't so much that he wants to teach you anything. It isn't so much that he wants to make you a better Bible student. These are things that are quite good in their place. But he comes first of all to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You are a contradiction to Jesus Christ till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You are an abnegation of Calvary in its fullest and best form until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You are a denial of the power of God until you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You are not a witness to Jesus Christ until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. It's only the baptism in the Spirit that can make you a witness to Jesus Christ. That and that alone. Amen. Now you can be a witness to your beliefs, and perhaps you're very vociferous about that, with tongue and pen. You may be a witness to a denomination, or the particular ideas you hold. You may be very good at getting people aside and talking to them about that, or even preaching it. But you're never a witness to Jesus Christ until you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Never. And you won't continue to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ either unless you're continually filled with the Spirit of God. The witness can only continue in fullness. Praise God. Praise God. That's right, isn't it? That's how the Lord has it, beloved. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the place was shaken, as they had heart for one thing and one thing only. So greatly were they united in this that when they all prayed, they found they were all praying the same thing. And only wanted one thing. They didn't say, "Oh Lord, stop this persecution. You know, my wife got stoned, or my son, he got injured the other day." They didn't say, "Stop it, Lord." It never crossed their minds. It seemed the witnessing was bound up with bloodshed. It seemed to them. It seemed to them that witnessing was bound up with persecutions and troubles. But oh, it was bound up in peace and joy and love and glory and power, radiating the life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost forced Jesus Christ upon that generation. Literally forced him upon them. They couldn't get rid of him. Couldn't get rid of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Men and women have got to have Jesus Christ. That's what he's come for. Glory be to God. With all his power, he's going to bring knees down there to bend to Jesus. That's what he's going to do. He's going to make everything acknowledge the fact that God sent his son into this world and the world can't shake him off. That's right. That's what it's all about. Witnesses unto him. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Didn't this thrill your heart? Doesn't it? Then no wonder we sing, "Welcome, welcome, welcome, Holy Ghost, we welcome thee." Yeah. It's a marvelous thing, beloved, to really bring you to that place where you're witness to Jesus. And then, I think perhaps it might be four things. It's quite early yet. I'll stop about 10 o'clock if I'm not through. We'll go into the Ephesian letter. Well, what's the use of having a bedman weekend if a 20-minute talk? Don't ask me if that's all you want. Well, I mean that too. I think that's sheer waste of time. Personally, I don't know how you feel about it, but then I've got my own feelings about it. And in Ephesians chapter, let's have a look at this one. This is a marvelous thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, verse 18, "Through him," that is through Jesus Christ, "we both," that's Jew and Gentile, "have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Oh, here there is another great reason, beloved. Not only are you baptized in the Spirit, but you've got to be builded together in the Spirit. Amen. And for this reason, that God should live in you. Amen. This is it. God taking up his habitation in you as a little living stone. I don't mean David. A little living stone. A little personally. A little personal temple, remember. And fitted in with all the other living stones into the larger temple, the great house of God, where he's going to live forever and forever. That's what's happening. That's why you've got to be in the Spirit. That's why the Holy Ghost is bringing forth the building, the house of God, where he's going to live in eternity. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Praise his marvelous name. Now, if this be true, beloved, this is what your state should be. You should be constantly ringing, absolutely ringing with the praises of God all the time. That's why you don't say, "Oh God, stop the persecution," you see. That's why you don't say, "Oh God, get my family away, in case we are massacred." Because all the time, glory be to God. You know, I met Wong Siddhen. You may never have met Wong Siddhen, but he was a student in Exeter University. And he came into our meeting and we nearly put the red carpet on. I felt like this in my heart. And I'll tell you why. He's the nephew of Watchman Nee, his uncle. He's in this country now. Wong Siddhen, he's studying, he was extra at that time, and my, he told us about his uncle. We got real first hand news. We really knew what was happening to Watchman Nee. God does privilege some people, you know, because lots of rumours have all been going round about this great man, and they were saying this. I mean, in one night, I didn't know, I shall never forget it, that's why I'm telling you now. I tell you, some things have been etched into my life like living flame. And this was one of the things that fell from the lips of this young Chinese lad when they were talking about that the Americans were trying to pay the Chinese enough money so that they could buy him out of prison and get him over to America. And he said to me, "My uncle will never do that, Mr. North. My uncle will never forsake his people." Yeah. That's why he can spread a table in the wilderness for people. You see, glory be to the name of the Lord. He's like the great woman. You know that great woman, don't you? Ashuna? Mm. When one old Elisha said, "Well, shall I speak to you, for you to the king or to the captain?" I said, "I live with my people." That's right. I live with my people. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's like God. He lives with his people. Having the right spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God is building us up there, beloved, into a glorious living temple. In this same epistle, you've got the glorious thing, Ephesians 5:18. You know the scripture. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be being, I'm in the present progressive tense in the Greek, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then notice the next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Isn't it a marvelous thing for God to have a melodic house? Even every stone in his glorious temple is a melody. Oh, hallelujah! You see, this is the great thing. Living music. Oh, God. If a man can be a living word, he can be a living melody too. God can have word and music together. You see, beloved, here's the great truth. I'll tell you whether you're few. If I said, hands up all you preachers, Sunday school teachers and leaders, how many of you would put your hand up? Half of Somebody's got his halfway up. Put it down, brother. Because I'm going to say something now. Ah, and it's absolutely right. Listen. God doesn't think you're fit to speak to anybody else till you can speak to yourself first. And I'd love to hear the things you say to yourself. You're to speak to yourself. When you can speak to yourself, you're fit to speak to others. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, speaking. Isn't it a marvelous thing? What do you sing to yourself? What do you sing to yourself? Some terrible beat thing that you hear over the wireless. What do you sing to yourself? Speaking, singing to yourself, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Hallelujah. And when you can do that, you can make a melody anywhere. Fill the place with music. Fill the place with melody. Praise the name of the Lord. This is what God is wanting, that you and I are to be built up into this living temple. Amen. God's habitation for eternity, where you're built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, because you know perfectly well that the apostles and prophets did this. There was an apostle and a prophet, namely Paul and Silas, in a prison in Philippi, and what did they do? You'd have thought they were living in heaven. They filled the place with music. Glory! They filled the place with music in prison. They just sang. Oh, and all the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah, and the prisoners will hear you if you sing. When your feet are in the stocks, and your back's bleeding, and the mud is stinking with your own excreta. I've never been in those conditions. I have had the honour of going to prison. I've never been in those conditions there. Hallelujah. The devil will sing and make melody in your heart. And your mind isn't a clashing jangle of frayed nerves and shattered emotions. Because the Holy Ghost has come, baptized you into the living, living temple. And you're a throbbing, glorious, melodic house of God. And when two stones just have to jar a bit together, they don't clang and clash. But you get fitted in beautifully. And it's all so wonderful, and everything is praise. And it's God's house, and Father and Son move about in their eternal house. And they're ever so pleased with the work of the Holy Ghost. Something worthy of Calvary's Son, perhaps Father said. It was all worth it that you shed your blood, wasn't it, Jesus? You see, what a house for God to dwell in with his Lamb forever and ever. Eh? My, what a privilege. What a privilege. Now that's what it's all about. That's the internal, glorious condition. When you're in the Spirit, as you should be. And when the Lord is working as he wants to in all your life, and you know, your direct heredity from the apostles and prophets. You know it, you see. You're in the line. Time hasn't stamped it out. Denominationalism hasn't slain it. Heresies caused a lot of distress, but they haven't done anything terribly destructive. They can't destroy the house of the living God. For the house of the living God is a living house. And this is what the Lord wants us to see and understand. Oh God, it's so true what you've done, that you've taken away the serenity of misery and thou hast given us the psalms of love and joy. Thou hast given us the hymns of praise. Thou hast given us the ability to make melody out of anything and everything. For God, what a marvelous thing. That's changed life, hasn't it? Hey, not a grumble about it, not a groan, not a moan, not a complaint about it. This that makes you take the viewpoint of the angels instead of being a whining, miserable prophet. That every way you look, you can see sin like old Isaiah of old. And then God took him in the temple and he found it was all different in there. He said, when Isaiah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the voice of those that cried moved the doorposts and all sorts of things as the train of glory in this marvelous revelation of God on his throne came to Isaiah's heart, and he heard those glorious ones saying something absolutely contradictory to what he said. And he was a prophet. And this is what they were saying. The whole earth is full of thy glory. What? All that Isaiah could see was misery and sin and wickedness and desolation. And then he heard those glorious voices as they beheld the face of the living God. And so everything was related to it on earth. And they said, oh Lord, you're filled with your glory. Filled with your glory. No wonder old Isaiah cried out, trouble with me, my lips are unclean. Now I've been prophesying all this time. You prophesy according to the state of your lips and your heart, brother, with your gift. Yeah. The very things he said seemed to defile the very sacred page when he thought about it, when he heard the glorious one saying, the whole earth is full of glory, Lord. Praise God. And what you've got to be is a glory bringer. A glory prophet. When the real revelation comes to your heart and you can stand up and take those precious words upon your own lips and say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Then he gives beauty for ashes. He gives the oil of gladness for mourning. He gives release to the captives. Oh, it's all so wonderful. He gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and there comes the glory. It comes the glory. Hallelujah. And relationships are right. And you're in the right stream. Ah, can there be two streams in this? It seems so. That which is seen through the doomed eyes of a man, even though he be a man with a gift. That which is seen through the eyes of him that looks upon the face of God and cry that everything is glory and everything is glory and everything is right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah for the greater prophet than Isaiah, even Jesus. Are you a Jesus prophet or an Isaiah prophet? Perhaps you might even be a Jeremiah prophet. Or a John Baptist prophet. Because you get as far as water baptism and repentance. But oh, the God of the glory. as the Wesley brothers would have it, and always see his face. Glory be to God. It's a marvelous thing to be here. You see, we all with unveiled face, the holiness in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. Your prophecies are going to change. Your spiritual state's going to change. The things you preach are going to change. The things you believe are going to change. The blood won't change. The sacrifice won't change. These are the foundations. Change from glory to glory to glory until your last words, beloved, will not be that I'll come and smite the earth with a curse because of its sin, like Malachi. But the Spirit and the Bride, they come, and we all look upon his marvellous face. We know the reality of the moving power of the Spirit of God that shifts doom and destruction and desolation out of your imagination and makes you a prophet after Jesus Christ. A prophet that can sing in prison with the apostles. The prophets that can tell forth the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, amen. When your heart is taken up with the songs of the righteous, with those who know not only how the Holy Ghost can come upon you and make you all to speak in other tongues as he gives you utterance, but make you all sing in the fullness of the melody of the music of heaven. Oh, Jesus, this is it. This is what God is after. This is that which the Lord does after that which Joel spoke about. Let's move on. Praise God. This time, I want us to go back into John's Gospel. For not only are you to be a witness and a temple, but oh, hallelujah, you are to be a river. John chapter 7. You know this marvelous story, don't you? How that on the last day of the feast, verse 37, the great day of the feast, Jesus stands right forth and he cries out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, if I may change this into the present, is now given because Jesus is now glorified. That's right. At that time, he wasn't given. Now he is. Amen. Amen. Pentecost is history. And then it was prophecy. Yeah. They were waiting for it to come. It was set in the great promises and purposes of God. It's here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The day of Pentecost is fully come. And Jesus has determined that you should be, beloved, a flowing river. A teeming, pulsing, flowing river. River. Amen. What a marvelous thing, beloved, when your life is so right with God that the Holy Ghost can come and fill you up and fill you up and fill you up, and the abundance of the fullness doesn't splash out in a lot of frothy bubble, but courses out in well-directed streams from your very belly, from your inner man, coursing out of you. In purpose and in direction and running out in length and breadth and depth. Eh? Because of the height of the glorious ministry of Jesus Christ, your head in you, pouring into you, that it should pour out of you. Amen. This is what God is after. This is what God is after. You've got to be a flowing river. Amen. Amen. To be consistent with the revelation, you've got to be a flowing river. To be consistent with Mother Jerusalem, that bridal company above, you've got to have a glorious crystal river flowing down your golden street. You've got to be a man or a woman in whom the Spirit of God just flows and flows, not jerks and jerks and jerks, not spits and dribbles, but flows and flows and flows. Amen. Not water spilled on the ground to splash a while and soak away and be lost. Not a flood that subsides when after the river has minimized from its maximum. An overflowing, but a steady, glorious, coursing river. Here, there, hallelujah, oh, glory to God. This is what God intends, the Holy Ghost to flow through you, flow through you, flow out of you, flow. Amen. The normal state of life. Flowing. Flying for anybody, anywhere, everywhere. So that you can say with that glorious spirit, you can lift your voice in bridal purity and total love. Let him that is athirst come. Let him take of the water of life freely, because it's flowing. If it flows freely, people can drink freely. Anytime, anywhere, anybody, whosoever will, let them come and drink. Oh, what an opened up life, eh? Nobody excluded. Yes, I can't deal with this man. No. Hallelujah. They can sneak up behind you and touch the border of your garment if necessary, and it flows out of that. That's your aim. That's your ideal. That's your example. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Follow you into the wilderness where you've gone for a little rest with some others, you see. And there you are. 5,000 say, oh, give them to me. Sit down. Make them sit down. Hallelujah. Flowing out. Make them sit down. Now, this is the life. I want you to see, because God wants you to see, and God forgive us if ever we've confine the law to one particular thing or line. He wants us to see that it's more than just speaking a few words in another tongue, other than your mother tongue, even though you can repeat them methodically every time you go to a meeting. To try and maintain that you're in liberty. Hallelujah. A river never has to try and persuade anybody it's in liberty. I never heard Father Thames complaining about it. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory be to the name of the Lord. I was in Warrington the other day. And had precious time up there. And I take around the town a bit. And my young driver, dear young brother in the Lord that some of you know so very well, and he was driving me around. He said, now this is the new cut, you see. Well, it seems that nearly everybody has a new cut. There was one in London when I lived there. That's a long time ago. And there's a new cut here and a new cut there. He said, this is what happened. You see, the Mersey, he said, it used to come to Warrington here at this bridge, and they showed me, and it used to wind all out round there and double back again, he said, and then just come back almost touching again. So they built a cut straight across, you see. And then he said, now up to here, the river is tidal. But they built a dam just up there, and they just open it up and let ships in and so on and so on and so on. And you thought, you know, this is absolutely true. When a river gets near the sea, it's tidal. But you know, you've got to be able to take to be able to say, no. Above here it's all fresh water. Glory be to God. You've got to know where the fresh water's flowing in all the time. You've got to know, beloved, that all these influences of other pressures pressing back in with seaweed and I don't know what. Stop there. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Out again. But the fresh water's flowing in all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Flowing in all the time. Beloved, is the river flowing in you tonight? Is the river flowing in you? Deep and wide that you sing about in Sunday school in a different connection? Is it? Oh, glory. So that men and women can drink of your love. Have you ever heard somebody ever come and sit at your feet to drink of your love and your precious word of truth? Have you? Hey, like they did with Jesus. Mary, you know, came and sat at his feet, heard his word, the sweetness of his life pulsing out through him, running so gloriously into another heart. Hey? Have you ever had someone come to you in need and can partake of the great river that's flowing? Have you? Ah, beloved. You haven't been given water just to drink. You've been given water that it should start a living spring in you that never can be stopped. It flows and floods with unabated power in your life. Is that right? Are rivers of living water flowing out of your belly? Are they? That's what Jesus has come for, to make you a river. Amen. Not a Jordan. A river from heaven. A river, hallelujah, flowing out. It is, isn't it? If I said, stand up, every one of you that knew that was true in your life. Glory be to the Lord. Got to be. You notice this isn't for apostles only. He said, if any man thirst, this is for anybody. Oh, well, this is only for the sort of preachers and the people have got to go all here and all there. Nothing of the sort. It's everywhere. God intends your place of work, your office, your home, your place to be saturated with living water flowing out of you. Well, let me talk about Warrington. It's good not to have to talk about years ago. This only happened this week. It'll be next week, last week, tomorrow, because we'll be in a new week. But it's this week. And she was there. She sat on the front row. Praise God. And, hallelujah. She sat on the front row there, and she was loving the Lord Jesus and pouring out her heart. And she'd had a true birth. She'd really come in. She'd only known the Lord for about 3 months, that's all. She's a nurse. And all the other nurses come flock into her room. She don't know anything. She hasn't been taught anything. But she's full of the Spirit. They come and drink. Hallelujah. Flowing out of this young girlie there, 3 months old in the Lord. She'd had a real birth. She was in. Praise God. She didn't care about anybody else in the meeting either. She loved the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And a man and his wife come there, and they sat there in the meeting about halfway back. They say, and my, the Lord came down in this meeting, and it was wonderful. And there was I must confess it got a bit noisy. Written all over you, it's all written all over you. I can tell just your spiritual state. I've only got to look at you. You can't hide when the spirit's in the meeting, you're as open as the day. You can't hide anything. You know that, don't you? So I told you already. I can look at you and I can tell you exactly where you were, where you are. In the things of spirit. Just only got to look at you. You can't hide from God. When God's in a meeting, you know, even if you're trying to hide, you're stuck out like a sore thumb. Everybody's in a meeting. And you become so fixed in the spirit that you're sort of etched out as a stone statue almost, sharp as that. Did you know that? Well, now I told you. And I can look at you and I can tell you what's going on in your heart. I shan't do it, unless you want me to. But here then is the tremendous thing. And after the meeting, well, they didn't come the second night. No, well, too much wasted. But on the third night, they were there. And he was out the front, I tell you. Look, he was out the front. And he told me all this afterwards. He needn't have told me because it was written all over his face. I won't tell you what particular background he came from, but he just didn't approve. You see, and it was a girl anyway. But here it is. But oh, beloved. You see, he didn't want it, he didn't like it. And that last night he walked out and he said, you know, I've come back to see you. I've been on that footpath. I've had to come back. That's right. God got hold of him. You see, you get down there, brother. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. It's wonderful when the rivers are flowing. If you keep flowing, you'll even overcome your sort of scriptural enemies. Keep flowing, you women. You men too, keep flowing. The whole thing about it, beloved, is that God got such an abundance that he can't put up with a self-contained Christian. Can't put up with it. Amen. He proposes to break you right up, smash you up altogether. Are you ready? He proposes to make you a deep river. Do you know why you think other people are shallow? It's because you're so shallow. So you think everybody else is. Simple as that. Yeah. I said this to a scientist in Scotland. I once had him met with an eminent scientist. He was in a meeting. He said, do you know, he said, when you said that, he said, I used to think, oh, it's all shallow, this, he said, but I realized that was right. I was imputing to them what was in my own heart, my own state. That's what I was doing. Didn't realize that people would go so high and flow so deep in the love of Jesus. Didn't realize it. You see. Amen. No, beloved, the water doesn't flow through scriptural channels. Flows through living channels. When God wanted to send the flood of love on the earth, he didn't send it through the Bible. He sent it through his Son. Glory be to God. He sent it through his Son. He said, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. And you won't come to me that you might have life. See? They kept searching their Bibles. Good scriptural brethren they were. And I've missed Jesus. Missed him. Didn't see it. Didn't know what it was all about. And beloved, he said, if any man thirst, come to me and drink. Glory. And you've got to keep drinking until it all flows out of you. Everywhere. Flows out of your eyes and flows out of your mouth and flows out of your touch and flows out of your very walk and flows out of your demeanor and flows out of your attitude and flows out of your ministry and flows out of your preaching, flows out of your praying, flows out of your singing, flows out of your being a daddy and a mummy, flows out of your being a sweetheart, flows out of your being a baby, flows out of your being a child and a daughter and a son, flows out of your being an employee or an employer, flows out of you as a deacon or an elder, or else you're not any of them as you should be. So the Lord wants you to see the truth. That all he's wanting, and it's all he's wanting, is men and women who will be the water courses of God. The supply of his abundance to other men and women. Amen. That's what happens when you really are drinking of Jesus Christ. Oh, when you're really in the Spirit, then the Spirit's in you. And you're flowing, flowing, flowing. And you know, beloved, one other thing I do want you to see, and I think probably we'll finish with this one. This time we're in the second letter to the Corinthians. It's not 10 o'clock yet. Got a nice 40 minutes. If we need them. This time in 2 Corinthians. Oh, it is a precious, precious word that God has given unto us. God wants us to move in this great realm of life, beloved. And you read in the 3rd chapter, and Paul is talking like this. He says, God in the end of verse 5, 2 Corinthians 3, the last word of verse 5. God hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You've not only got to flow with the Spirit. When you flow with the Spirit, this comes from your life. It's quite unconscious. You don't deliberately flow with the Spirit. Either you do or else you don't. But you do deliberately minister. One is the basic life state. The other one is a special thing. God makes us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And of course the reason for this is that other people may have life and that they may not be slain or in any way hurt or harmed, at least by what you're ministering. What a glorious thing this is then. God is wanting this. I don't want to talk too much about this tonight. It's such a vast subject. But all I want to say in this connection is that if you really want to be a minister of the Spirit, if you really want to minister life, if when you open your mouth people come alive, if when you preach people, you want people to get born again, if you really want this, then, beloved, you've got to minister the Spirit. or a minister of the Spirit. Oh, it's precious, and of course this will tie up with all I've said before. You see, a verse 8 says that the ministry of the Spirit, the ministration of the Spirit, is rather in glory, actually, is the Greek prayer. It's in glory, ministry of the Spirit. So if you're not in glory, then you can't minister the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is in glory. You see, Jesus is glorified. He never mediated the Spirit until he was glorified. He was in glory when he mediated the Spirit. And the ministry of the Spirit is in glory. For it's not from you, but it's through you. It's still from him. In glory. And you are to minister this glorious Spirit. Oh, what a precious thing this is. To minister the Spirit unto others. Amen. Well now, you want to do this, do you? All of us, especially those of us who feel we are called to preach, or in any way to teach, whether it be the primaries, or whether it be the elderly people, or to whosoever it be, whether we talk to sinners in the road, or whether we minister from the sort of sacred pulpit. We want to minister the Spirit, and if you want to do this, beloved, there's only one real way in the end. Not only have you to be a witness, not only have you to be a temple, not only have you to be a river, but you must also be a Calvary. If you want to minister the Spirit, you remember I started there. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified, so that you might receive the Spirit. It isn't a baptism in the Spirit, beloved, though it's necessary and it's the beginning. It isn't the baptism in the Spirit that causes, that keeps the water flowing. It isn't the baptism in the Spirit that keeps the temple full of praise. That's the gateway. That's when it really begins. It isn't the baptism in the Spirit that keeps you a witness, though it makes you a witness initially. It isn't anything of that at all, and this is why so many people have missed out, and why ever so many people get together and seek only to keep the initial thing going among them, instead of moving on. As God wants them to move on and grow, as we were talking this afternoon here together. The thing that will keep the life stream flowing through you, the thing that will keep you a permanent minister of the Holy Spirit, is this. That, let's have a look at verse 6, shall we, of chapter 4. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distress. Our trouble never fills us with distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We never get desperate. Amen. Persecuted, but never forsaken. Hallelujah. In fact, the more persecution, the more unforsaken you realize you are. Jesus Christ never abandons you to persecution or in persecution. You realize when the persecution is there, you realize the glorious, loving, softening, tender presence of the Christ whose bruises only brought forth blood, whose lacerations only brought forth the crimson tide. You see? It's all so glorious. And you're never forsaken. Amen. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Let's have this last one, shall we? Cast down, but never destroyed. Praise the name of the Lord. It's the devil hates it when he throws you, when you get cast down, bang, and you come up again. Not 2 years afterwards, but immediately. That's right. Cast down, but not destroyed. It says cast down, but not held down. Do you understand that? Cast down, but not fastened down. Amen. Cast down, blessed be the name of the Lord, but never broken, because you're a living stone. You can't break those. You can crack dead stones with a sledgehammer, but you can't kill a living stone. That's what Peter said. He said, this is the stone that was rejected of you builders. This is the stone that you... And you see with your silly things. Well, look at this. They were absolute complete idiots, really. You see? And there was Peter built on him. There were. You see? He was built on the living stone, and then on him God built a lot more of the church. This is where the Roman Catholics have got all mixed up. Of course they were built on Peter. I'm built on Peter. I'm built on Apostle. I'm built on Paul. I'm built on Matthew. I'm built on them all. Glory be to God. We've got no real quarrel when you understand what the Bible's really talking about. You haven't got to go off on your Protestant hind legs and start fighting. As long as they don't make out that he's the chief cornerstone, that's all right. Of course we're built on old Peter. And on Matthew, and Mark, and some of these others, glory be to God. I'm built on Apollos as well as Cephas. We're all there. It's all so stupid, all this nonsense. You see, we're all built there, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Don't make you a Roman Catholic. Hallelujah. This is all so tremendous for us to see this glorious thing that God is saying. We're never destroyed, we're living stones. You see, old Peter could have sort of put his tongue out to him and said, you see what you've done? You crucified him, he kept telling them, and he said, you by wicked hand, you take him, you slain him, but God's raised him up. We're built on him. Here we are. Hallelujah, you see. The living proof, the eternal witness, the indestructible evidence. Here we go, we're never destroyed. Always, this is the important verse 10, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There it is, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. That's the way it comes. This is the secret of it, beloved. That you and I are bearing about in our body the actual putting to death of Jesus. It's the only time that word comes in the Bible. It actually means the putting to death, the actual crucifixion, always bearing about in our body the dying, the crucifixion, the taking away of the life of Jesus. Amen. And this is the secret. Because he had to lay down his life that the sheep could have it. We bear it about in our body, this putting to death of the Lord Jesus. And then when this is, everything's dead, out of the way, crucified now, the rivers can flow. Praise God. The ministry can go on. The life-giving ministry. The Spirit breathed from heaven, the flood poured out, because because we bear about in our body this great death. It's instantaneous. It's present. It's glorious. It's real. It's synchronous. I die. I bear about in my body, and lo, I live. The river flows. The old river of death is stopped. Because I carry about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The old self is gone. I carry it here. I hear the bellows of the bulls of Bashan. I hear the roarings of the lion. I hear the snappings of the dragon. They seem to come so close. But I'm alive. Lo, I'm alive. And I minister. It's all so radical. It's all so instant. It's all so precious. It's also now, 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 now. That is what it is. The flowing of the Spirit. If the Spirit isn't flowing through you, and if you aren't mentioning the Spirit, you can always tell that by the results. This is where you've lost. Death works in us, life in you. Oh, glory be to God. You see, everything brought out of death. Everything, so that we're not grasping, grabbing, seeking, wanting, left eternally desiring, but oh, we're receiving, we're having, we're living. Oh God, we're satisfied. When the river slides and the ministry. Is that how it is with you, brother? Sister? Is that how it is with you? Listen, you can't have this fourth thing without you have that first thing. You start here. You shall receive power. The power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. You shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever you go, they shall say, this is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the living one. See, he lives again in this man, this woman. I've read these four Gospels, and this life is the same as that. This is that. The same. So, well, I've only just begun. Well, glory be to God, you've begun. Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Amen. What do you say to yourself? I'll put the stethoscopes on you, God's stethoscopes. I'm not listening for a harp murmur. I'm listening for a song, praise, melody. That's what I'm listening for. Amen. And if you can sing to yourself like that, you're safe to sing to me. Otherwise, please keep quiet. Don't make any attempt at anything. The Holy Ghost comes to do it all. Amen. Glory. Don't make it hard for God by being awkward. But don't try and do anything. The Holy Ghost comes. And he does it. Amen. This is what God is doing in these great days in which we are living. And then, oh, when the river is flowing out, when the river's flowing, not my needs, not my sicknesses, not my tragedies, not my heartbreaks, not my insufficiencies, But Jesus, who would have been the great heartbreak of the world, except that God had raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Heal the sore. Wonderful. And now he's the great joy and glory of the world. Oh, how lovely. And it's flowing and flowing and flowing. And God wants him to flow through your life. Flowing in rivers. Bible knowledge is no substitute for the Holy Ghost. Good sound scriptural believing is no substitute for the flowing of the river. A blessed Holy Ghost has come through, I'm going to say, raw from God. Original from God. There's only one Spirit. Holy Ghost must come through your life. Amen. And when your life is lined up with the life of him, then the spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus will flow through you without any contradiction or conflict. And that's what the cross is all about. It was there originally so the Holy Ghost may come. It has to be there now in 1971 in your life. That the original ministry of the early church of Jesus and his apostles and his prophets and all that came into that church by the grace of God should be in us in these days, flowing through us unhindered. Is it happening to you? Come on, beloved. Are you baptized in Holy Spirit? With power from on high. In you, with you, through you. Is it? Now, if not, God proposes to do this for you. Here. In this room, if you'll believe him, glory be to God. Are you ready? What are you wanting above everything else now? What are you wanting? Hallelujah. And if you're in need, the Lord Jesus will meet your need. If you're in any way bound or constricted or restricted, the Holy Ghost will come and set you free in Jesus' name. If you'll believe him, but believe him properly, believe him royally, believe him by the enabling of the Spirit to open up your entire self unto him. Forever and forever, that glorious Spirit shall be in you and flow through you and minister that life, world without end. For that life will still be there and still be ministered. For that's all the life there is. When there's no more sin and no more persecution and no more of this old fallen, cursed creation. But all is new by his grace, and we'll all minister Jesus one to another. Yes. Amen. Not for our healing anymore, not for our deliverance, but for our building up unto all eternity by the Spirit in the fullness, the effulgence of the glory of God in us. Amen. Now let's pray, shall we?